it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us on another episode of Live with Joe. And Joe, just so thankful that you had me back here today with you.
You become the anchor, son. Yeah. You're the anchor.
We're excited, guys, not only to be with you on this podcast, but to share with you again about this awesome, awesome new book called Smart Moms. And it says Smart Moms Think, Say, Do, and Pray.
It is loaded.
Yeah, absolutely. And this has been completely rewritten, revised. It used to be an audio series, but we've reworked it to be more current for today to help moms right now. And whether you are a mom, you know a mom, you've had a mom, there's somebody in your life that this is going to bless.
Plus, we've got a mom author again because both Angel and I both have written
this.
So.
Yeah, and Angel, I love this. What's in this is about every other page, Angel's got an excerpt, something extra that she added just to add on to what
and
Joe had already had.
She does not pull back. She tells the truth.
No, and so this thing is loaded, and it can be you can get it at joemcgeestore.com, and you can order yours today. Don't just get one for yourself. Get it for somebody else that it's going to be a blessing to, guys, and so just want to encourage you to get that.
And we've mentioned before, you'll be using this book 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Because things change, but the Word of God never changes. So
yeah,
you'll be a mom forever. You'll be a mom when you're 90.
Absolutely.
And your kids are 70, and their kids are 50. I mean, you're going to be a mom forever. It's motherhood. It's what God had in mind when he made man. But Adam to a deep sleep, took out a rib, and he built a woman.
Yeah.
And boy, he changed the world when he built a woman, I guarantee you.
And it doesn't matter how old your kids are. You never stop being a mom.
Thank you.
You're always there
Thank
for them.
You.
You're all not only that, but it's, you know, one of the things says, think, say, do, and pray. Your prayers as a mom, doesn't matter how old your kids are, how long they've been out of the house.
Whether they're talking to you or mad at you.
Yes.
I pray for you regardless of what you think about me.
Your prayers still have power for your
yes.
kids. And even when you're not seeing it happen in the naturals, God is working on their lives and working in their lives. And so just want to encourage you, smart moms, go get a smart
and
mom's
the
book.
Scriptures are in there on each one of those four things.
Yeah.
And especially on the prayer thing. I don't care what people are saying to you. When you pray, things are happening. Angels are moving. God watches over his word performing. When you start praying the word of God over your kids, things are going to happen.
Yeah.
God will move.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the topics that we wanted to talk about today, and it kind of probably goes along with being a smart mom. There's times it's, you know, the topic we had was when I'm feeling hopeless, what do I do? Or,
yeah.
or how do I get out of that place?
Yeah.
And I know probably as a mom or as a dad, there's times where you look at your kids' lives and you're like, is there any hope?
What have I done? Why did I even start this?
Yeah.
My goodness, I could go back. Can we shove that thing back in our mother's womb? Can we start again? Can we go back to the hospital exchange and get a different one? No, that's yours. God knew exactly what you needed. God knew exactly how they're going to come out. And you are God's gift. As
yeah.
a father and a mother, you are God's gift for your kids. And
Absolutely.
So you're there for whatever they're going through. You are the problem solver for that child. And so
yeah.
you got to think about it. I'm a gift from God for you. I'm not something bad. I'm a blessing.
Yeah.
And now, you know, when your child turns 18, legally, you're not their parent. Legally. You're their mom or dad, but legally, you're not their parent anymore. They're an adult now. They're not necessarily mature, nor they have any more wisdom. But legally, not because they're an adult. But you're still their mom and their dad. The smart mom, you can have other avenues just because you don't have to do what I say. I can pray things, you know. I think things. I'm thinking what God says. You know, you're going to be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath.
Yeah.
You're going to be blessed. You're going to come out of this. You're going to come through this. You're going to overcome this. And so when the word of God is a smart mom, you realize, I don't care what I see, it's God's word that I'm leaning on.
Yeah.
God watches over his word, not my fears, not my doubts, not your complaints, not your gripes. God will move.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you're a guy and you're saying, well, I'm not a smart mom, but Joe has a book for you as well called Man, Lover, Leader, Provider, because ultimately in marriage, we need both of you. And
both.
As parents, you need the husband, the wife, the dad, the mom, both of you guys working together, bringing your heart and what God's, you know, gifted you together is going to help produce good kids.
God has not changed his mind. He
yeah.
said it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet.
Yeah.
A helper. Now, we joke all them. The first half of that word is hell. I'm going to make him helper. Help me. Got to get the whole word in there. And so that's why most husbands and wives, we have a saying. I read a bump sticker one time in Texas that said, when two people are just alike, one of you is not needed.
Yeah.
And so opposites attract.
Yeah.
And you're never going to, well, if I just get my spouse to think like me, they'll never think like you. They're, by God's design, to think different. Two are better than one. Why? Because you see the problem from a different viewpoint. You know, there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. So it's like two are better than one. So you don't have to agree. You just have to agree to the same solution for a problem.
Yeah.
Here, what do you see? I see this. Well, I see this. What do you see? Then you get an agreement according to Matthew 18:19, and God starts to move like a freight train.
Yeah.
So that book is loaded for bear.
And there's a lot of people that may be listening. You may say, well, you know, I'm not in my marriage anymore. Maybe I've gotten divorced or my spouse passed away. Well, there's still hope for you.
Yes.
And God still has a purpose for your life. You are not hopeless. And that's really what we wanted to talk about today, is having hope in situations where it maybe looks like there isn't any.
Yep.
But we know that a scriptural definition of hope is truly, a confident expectation.
Yes, it is.
It's not wishful thinking.
It is not. This is not a wishbone thing. This is all it is. I'm going to read something to you. This is out of Romans 4:18. Hope is a proper response to the promises of God. Abraham serves as the prime example. Even though he was very old, he had confidence that God will fulfill his promises. Here's what the scripture says in Romans 4:18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Against hope, he said, you're an old man. You can have babies. You can have babies when you could have. You're too old to have them now. No, God said I was going to. And if God said it, I don't care what my body says, what the doctor says, what society says, I'm believing what God said. That's the father of our faith. The father of our faith. We're going to, against all hope. No, I believe in hope.
Yeah.
Hope. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. We've met people that are hopeless, that have given up, don't try anymore, don't give any effort whatsoever. They've been beat down so much. And like I said, we got a big family. People have gone through divorce, lost a spouse. And God told the widows, you a widow? You can get remarried. What? No, you can't sit around and grieve forever. You ought to get remarried. Have some more babies. Take care of the house. Do what you were created to do. Don't sit here and grieve. The Bible says, now this gets sort of deep, but Jesus gave 30 days to grieve over Moses when Moses died. I'll give you 30 days to grieve. Day 31, we're going to get up and get busy. We're not going to grieve forever. I know it's part of the process, but not forever. So you got to get hope back. What's going to happen? Well, I don't know. God's going to work all things out to my good. Well, so-and-so, I lost a spouse. Been married 45 years, lost my spouse.
Yeah.
What'd you do? For 6 weeks, I couldn't stop crying. My life. I mean, we fell in love when we were in high school. I never kissed another woman. Another one. Never dated another person. It was just my wife for 45 years, and we dropped 6 babies out of that thing. I don't know anything else. So for 6 weeks, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't think. I cried all the time. I couldn't say. And so I was just hold my hand up. Just give me, I'll stop crying. And so 6 weeks into that, I got up on a Saturday morning and I heard God speak to me. It's almost like he said, get up, shut up, and get busy. It's time to stop the grieving. It's been 6 weeks. We got stuff to do. And I realized that's true. And so next year and a half, I got real busy. And then I met Angel. And then I shocked everybody. I said, hey, I'm going to get remarried. I thought, you're going to what? Yeah, I got hope. I think I can do this again. Do it even better than the first time, Because I've learned some things that first round. I'm going to do this even better. Yeah. And so what happened was, I've never been this much in love. So I just completed my third year. But what do you hope?
Yeah.
Well, what happened? My world collapsed. My wife died. I lost everything. I teach on family. What happened? My wife died. How do I do that? How do I teach on marriage? My wife died. How do I teach on relationships? My wife died. And you realize you get stuck. The devil tries to hold you in a place. No. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. No. I got hope.
Yeah.
Sun's going to come up. God didn't die. Jesus didn't fall off the throne. Angels are still busy. And so God likes to, he loves to show off. So I started reading about people that lost spouses in the Bible. I spent almost 3 weeks just every night and get back in the office, get my Bible over. What happened to people that lost spouses when they died or whatever? I had to go to the scripture. So I put hope back in. Hey, lots of Abraham, Sarah died after Isaac was born. Sarah died. The one we've been through for all his life, she died. He got remarried. He had 6 more kids. He's 100 years old. What'd you do? My wife died. I got remarried, had a ton more kids. So he's still alive and well. It's like life goes on, In heaven, people that you've lost loved ones, they've gone to heaven. They're not thinking about you. They're not thinking about anything. They're in heaven. Life's wonderful. Weather's perfect. Food's free. It's a great place, There's no time in heaven. So if you've lost a loved one, they're not thinking about you. They're having a good time. You'll see them when you get to heaven yourself. So in the meantime, get busy and do something. So I'm going to read this, some great scriptures. I like this. Hope in Scripture means a strong and confident expectation.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I'm expecting good things to happen. Well, I thought you lost your job. I thought you got a bad report from the doctor. I thought your spouse died. I thought you had a kid that got arrested. Yeah, but I got hope.
Yeah.
God's going to work all things out to my good. So I'm going to read these. Just a few scriptures. Psalm 10:17. Lord, you know the hopes of the hopeless. Surely you hear their cry and comfort them. Who's going to comfort? Hopeless people. God loves to comfort hopeless people.
Yeah.
Whatever you open. Well, that's who God loves to show up and help. Psalm 25:21. My integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you, God. What are you going to do? I'm putting my hope in God. Not in man? No, not man, but in God. Psalm 39:7. So, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. Well, that gets deep. I like that.
Yeah.
Psalm 130:5. I'm counting on the Lord. Yes, I'm counting on him. I put my hope in his word. What? In his what? Word? In the word of God. That's why I need to read the Bible every day. I don't know if you just read it 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, every day. I'm going to put some scripture in. Why? My hope's in God. And that's God in that Bible. By the way, I joke about it all the time. Volume 2 is not coming out. God still watch over the same Bible. So same word. So start reading your Bible every day. Read a psalm a day. Read a proverb a day. Just find something. God will use that. He'll start bringing that to your remembrance.
Yeah.
That's where victory comes from. That's the only weapon I possess. My only offensive weapon is the spoken word of God.
Yeah.
He said, let the redeemed Lord say so. Start saying what God says. Hope will return, I promise.
And I believe it's, you had mentioned it, probably. I believe it's Proverbs 13:12, where it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yes.
And what does that mean? That means that maybe I've been putting my hope in something that is changing,
yeah,
is not constant, or has the ability to fluctuate.
My boss that loved me took another job. He's not my boss anymore.
Yeah.
You know, my car that I liked, the engine fell out, you know. There's always things that happen like, what? You find out your hope was in the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I tell you, two things last forever. Humans and the word of God. Everything else one day will disappear. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth. All these things we see today will pass away. I don't care how much importance you put in something, it's going to disappear. Two things last. People and the word of God. So,
yeah,
rearrange your priority. People in your life and the word of God.
Yeah.
Because those two things last for eternity.
And Joe, I wanted to ask you, just so that we give a little practical, you know, advice for, you know, maybe there's someone here that is married and they're going to church, but their spouse isn't.
Yep.
They maybe aren't following the plan of God for their life, but the one spouse is being faithful and trying to do everything, and they feel like, I've lost all hope. I don't know what else to do. What's a way that they can, you know, just continue to grow
in
hope?
I've got family members I dealt with this very thing. I tell my family, let me tell you what I tell them to their face. The problem is your hope's not in God. It's in your spouse.
Yeah.
You're hoping your spouse will get saved. You hope your spouse will go to church. You hope your spouse will read the Bible. Well, you can't make that human do it. If God Almighty has not made your spouse do that, what do you think you can do?
Yeah.
If the God that created the universe hasn't made your spouse serve God or go to church, what hope do you think you have? So work on yourself.
Yeah.
Go to church, you know, read your Bible, cook him a great meal, suck the lips off his face, do whatever you need to do. Just be a blessing. And the Bible in 1 Corinthians 9 addresses believers married to unbelievers. God knew it was going to happen. Somebody's going to get saved, but their spouse is not going to get saved. He said, well, if it's okay to dwell with them, dwell with them. Are they going to get saved? Maybe not. They may die and go to hell. That's not your decision. That's them. Now, you can pray for them. Father, take blindness from their mind, lighten their understanding. But Father, I believe for divine favor in my spouse's eyes. I love them, fell in love, we got married. It's just I got born again.
Yep.
And I fell in love with Jesus, and I'm going to church, and I like to read my Bible. They don't. That doesn't stop me. And so I'm not going to let they're not doing something affect me. No, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live forever.
Yeah.
I'm going to dance with the angels. I got divine favor. I get to believe God for me. Would you agree with me or not? And I know there's power in agreement. Then if your spouse won't agree with you, get somebody at church. Get a friend. Go to lunch with somebody. Hey, can you agree with me according to Matthew 18:19? You'll find somebody that can. Don't let a spouse that's not serving God stop you. But love your spouse. The Bible says to him, I'm going to love you. I'll make you suck the lips off my face. I'm going to be so good to you. And maybe eventually that blindness will fall from your mind and you'll get born again. That's what I'm believing for. Till the day we leave this planet, I'll be believing God for your salvation. Yeah. So just enjoy life.
And I think with hope too, one of the ultimate things is don't give up, because what you're going through right now is not your ultimate future. It's not your ultimate destiny. If you're dealing with sickness in your body right now, that's not God's plan for your life. That's not His will for your life. So what you're facing right now is not your future. So don't lose hope. Continue to have a confident expectation or have hope. And the way that you do that, and Joe, I feel like we talk about this all the time, but
yes,
you have to. There is no shortcut. You have to. You for yourself, get into the Word of God and see what God is saying about you and your life. There is no shortcut. I can't go to a church service and just expect my pastor to download.
I just can't plug in somewhere. If you got one of the new electric cars, can I plug in and get charged up?
I can't put a USB drive in my mind and just have it download. I've got to do it. And, you know, Joe, something you had said, and we just posted it on your Instagram, and it was talking about how there's no prophetic word, there's no friend's advice, no pastor's word that can replace God speaking to you directly. And so
Jesus wanted, He wanted the people to have a one-on-one relationship.
Yeah.
Every time Jesus ministered to somebody, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first thing He said every time, shh, don't tell anybody. This is not a billboard. I'm not taking out a one at the... This is for you personally. God is a personal, one-on-one relationship with God.
Yeah.
What He's doing for you. Maybe He's not doing it for your spouse. Maybe they're not believing for God. I've had people on my staff, people, relatives. Are you believing God? They're not. I can't believe beyond you. Even Jesus could not believe beyond somebody. The guy that came to Him with this boy that was demon-possessed, Jesus asked him, He said, do you believe I can do this? The guy says, is that important? Yeah, I'm God, but I'm limited by what you believe I can do. You limit me. I'm limitless. I'm God. I made the universe. I hold everything together by the power of my word. But I'm limited by what you believe I can do. He said, well, Lord, I believe, but can you help my unbelief? Just said, I can even do that. And so the kid got delivered and redeemed that day. Why? He met him where he was at. It's a one-on-one thing. And so when you think about, oh, what is it? Well, God's for me. God's always for me. And so I'm not going to lose this. So I don't care what you say, what you do, what the weather says. I don't care who's in the White House, who your senator is, who your congressman is, who your boss is, what the state's doing. It doesn't affect me. I'm from another planet. This world is not my home. I'm passing through. But while I'm here, I'm going to be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Everything I set my hand is going to prosper. The Bible says people will eventually ask us about the hope that's in us. How come you have hope? Now I know Jesus. He's praying for me every day. There's so many angels around you can't count them.
Yeah.
They watch over His word. It's not who's in the White House. It's not who's governor. Or it's not what the country's economy's doing. It doesn't matter. Listen, I've lived long enough. Stock market's been up, been down. At one time, it did drop 500 points in one day. People jumped out of buildings, committed suicide. People, big companies went broke, went belly up. Toys R Us, Maryland, they went belly up in one day. Did you die? No, I'm still here.
Yep.
Did you get laid off? Yeah, I've lost jobs twice. Companies had to shut down because of the economy. What'd you do? Got another job? I got another job. You don't stop. You get to believe God every day and do something every day. That's what we get. And that's what makes people ask us, hey, how come you doing all right? I said, well, Jesus, He's fine.
Yeah.
Lose his job? Yeah, but I got a better one. I thought you and your wife were yelling last night. Is that y'all yelling? Yeah, we had a fight. Y'all getting a divorce? I mean, a guy asked this. I'm in my driveway driving to work early in the morning. I was in Sykes, Missouri. My wife had a bad fight. Evidently, we were yelling loud. Tight little neighborhood. I'm in the car. I said, hey, Joe, how you doing? I'm doing good. He said, you guys getting a divorce? What? Yeah, we all heard you yelling last night. No. I said, no, we repented. So I was chasing around the kitchen table this morning. We're having a good time. I said, you're not getting a divorce? Oh, no. No, we repented. And God forgave us. We're in love more than ever. And so the Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day. Scoop dirt with your lower lip. Well, messed up, got fired, got laid off, got a bad report from the doctor. What'd I do? I got back up. We get to get back up.
Yeah.
That's where hope comes in. We're going to do, I don't care what's been stolen. Whatever's been stolen, the devil has to pay back seven times.
Yeah.
I'm going to get back up. I'm not laying down in the dirt and going to cry and feel sorry for myself. Because God doesn't move them. God moves over my faith. Without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you don't whip the devil. We're doing faith speaks. I'm going to say what God says. Yeah. My marriage is better than it's ever been. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm more prosperous than I was last year. God's opening doors for me that no man can shut. Talks to me when I go to sleep, when I wake up during the day. I'm a blessed man. Yeah. Say what God says. Yeah. That's where hope begins to pick up and push faith. You can't have faith if you don't have hope. Yeah. Hope is the concrete faith's built on. Without faith, I don't please God. What do you need first? I need some hope.
Yeah.
I need to put my hope in God, put my hope in the Word of God, and then faith begins to grow.
Yeah, and you know, anytime that we put our hope in anything else, like you had mentioned, the government, our job, our finances, our spouse, our kids. Joe, you know, just to be honest with you, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. If I put my hope in the Cowboys winning a Super Bowl, my heart's going to be sick.
But man, we need to win some games.
So our hope has to be solidified in something that is never changing. The love of God for me. God cares about me. He's for me. He's never against me. He's always on my side. He's always going to provide to me. That's what I can put my hope in. And I think that one main aspect of hope is it means I'm always moving forward. I'm not stuck.
Not sitting on the side of the road with some concrete picnic table when Disney World's around the corner. Don't stop growing. Don't stop moving.
Yeah, and so no matter what you're going through, we just want to encourage you that God has hope for you, for your life. And what that means is he has a confident expectation that what you're going through is not your end destination. Nope. He's got a purpose and a plan for your life. In Jeremiah 29:11, we all know that. He knows the thoughts and the plans and the hope that he has for you, thoughts to give you hope
and the future.
He has a confident expectation about your future. So this is not the end. What you're going through is not
your
destiny.
God didn't make you to fail. God didn't make you to scoop dirt with your lower lip. God didn't make you to be depressed the rest of your life. God made you to excel and have people ask you about the hope that's in you. That's why God made all of us. And so, but their tests and trials come to everybody.
Yeah.
And God, this when Israel went to the promised land 10 times, God tested them. Bitter water, no water, no food. He's trying to get them to use their faith. Please use your faith. Come on, I'm good. I'm the guy that delivered you from Pharaoh, around the whole army, split the Red Sea. I'm good, and I'm not going to change. And so that's what we got to realize. The Word of God is going to put that faith back in us and give us hope to realize something. What is it? No, I got it made. I don't care what happened. The door shut. You got to open a better one. He doesn't lie. Whatever's going on, I'm not the end of my life. I'm going from faith to faith and glory to glory.
Yeah.
Next year's going to be better than this year. I remember when I grew up and all those old people on the front porch every afternoon in that little copper mining town. And then Rocker was just, I remember back in the 40s in the good old days. I remember back in the 50s in the good old days. Let's not talk history for 10 years. There are no good old days. They're all sorry, messed up. Every generation. And so the Bible says, I, as a believer, I'm going from faith to faith and glory to glory. My greatest days in front of me, not behind me. There are no good old days. My greatest days tomorrow. My greatest week is next week. My greatest month is next month. My greatest year is next year. God said, I'm going from faith to faith and glory to glory. God's not stopped.
No.
He's not on a roadside table. He's going to the big land.
And we're going to follow him and continue to see God's faithfulness in our lives. So, guys, we're just thankful that we had the opportunity to speak with you. For those of you, if you know someone in your life maybe that feels like they're hopeless or you know they're going through that, share with this podcast with them, because we believe the scriptures and the words that were spoken is going to be an encouragement to them. But guys, we want to just remind you that you are not alone. We are praying for you. There's people all around the world praying for you. Joe, you mentioned recently that the whole body of Christ, there's people that are praying
for you.
That you've
never met, you won't even get to heaven. You're going to get to heaven one day and say, hey, you know, I was praying for you about 80 years ago, and God laid your heart. You're kidding. I never met you. Yeah. You know, I was in Timbuktu, China, and God just laid my heart one morning. I started praying for you, and you were the one.
So be. Yeah, so be filled with hope. Know that God is for you. And we just want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. And also to all of our partners, those of you that are praying for us.
God bless you guys.
Yeah, we can't do what we're doing without you. For those of you that are giving financially, you are helping us bring hope, restoration.
We could not do this without you guys. Nobody does this by themselves. It is our partners that make this happen. So thank you.
Yeah, you guys are great teammates, and we're so thankful to call you and to know that you're on our side, working alongside of us. And so, guys, thank you again for joining us on another episode of Live with Joe. God bless you.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.